Blog Talk Radio.
We would like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. As your host, Lee Robinson, we'll be discussing various current events. But right now, we have one particular current event we'd like to start on with our contributor and analyst, Emmanuel Joyner, out of North Carolina. The past week, we have had the NCAA tournament, and we have also had an incident that dealt with the Philadelphia Eagles football team, a trading football player that raised a great concern throughout the country when we talk about the football community. What we really want to discuss right now is this whole concept of sports, race, and money, how they intertwine, and we would like to attempt to fill in a missing page of history of looking at this particular issue and filling those kind of pages that people rarely talk about when we look at this great institution that we call sports. And right now, again, we'd like to welcome Emmanuel to Missing Pages, and we'd like to get his position on what does he make out or how does he view this recent incident of trading DeSean Jackson, cutting him. And later on, from my understanding, he has a contract now with the Washington Redskins. But just the whole nature of how they went about this whole business of asking athletes, and it seemed like basically African athletes or black athletes to take less contract or less money for future contracts, even though they have high performance. In general, Emmanuel, there seemed to be a movement within the National Football League and throughout sports, even when we're looking at basketball and baseball, where money seems to be an issue when it comes to race. It seems to be that superstar now are being asked to take less money. Just give me your overall analysis on this phenomenon right now, Emmanuel.
Well, what's happening basically, if you can see it, it's all out there on the front page. Let's take the first question you asked about LeSean Jackson, Philadelphia Eagles, taking less money with the Washington Redskins. And they cut him because they didn't want to pay that $10.5 million. All the players from Chicago, the defensive end, Julius Peppers, Mr. Ware, the guy that plays for the Dallas Cowboys, all went to other teams. Quite a few players went to other teams because of the money. They playing the quarterbacks all the money, even regardless how they perform. Performance don't count for the European player. It doesn't count at all. For the African-American player, you have to outperform, perform, and perform, and still get less money. This is the same old racism. It's nothing, you know, nothing. You've got to call it what it is. It's the same old thing. You couldn't play from the beginning. When they were giving guys Orwells and everything else and part of the team and all of that, but they were all European players. Now, but you couldn't even play. Now, you are the top superior players. You are the superior performers. And you get paid less. All they say, as long as you got a job and making some, you're fine. But you don't have generational wealth with the money you're getting. Then once you get the money, they encircle you with their people. The agents encircle with their people for buying houses, for buying furniture, jewelry, clothing. They send you to their people that have the money, that have the jobs, that have this and that, to make sure you get them, make sure they get paid. So the money stay within one community, basically, the European community. They make sure they supply all of our needs per the Willie Lynch letter. So we have to look at this thing. LeSean Jackson got released because they didn't want to pay the $10.5 million. Michael Vick got released. They didn't want to pay him that $9 million. That's $19 million bucks they're paying. They're going to pay this money to the quarterback they got now, about $20 million. He'll get per year, get a contract, probably $100 million, guaranteed about $50-something million. That's what they get. They cannot perform. Detroit Lions, the guy from the Los Angeles Rams, all these quarterbacks, so European, they're getting paid and can't perform. Just throw the ball, hope to get good great receivers. Of course, you got to be great to throw that mess they're throwing out there. You got to be great from that mess they're throwing out there. then you run with it. And they get all the credit for the yardage, basically. They get paid on the yardage and touchdown that you're taking the ball to the end zone. You're catching breaking tackles. You're doing all the performance. If it touched your fingertip, you should have caught it. If it touched your fingertips. You jumping 5 feet up in the air, you got to get it and bring it down if it touched your fingertips. You have to do all the athletic stuff. They just have 4 or 5 footsteps, throw the ball, hope somebody catch it. Now, what's going to happen to the black quarterbacks coming into the league, which are better, more athletic, better footwork, throw the ball further, more on the spiral type, everything. What's going to happen now? Different ball game. Mr. Go back to LaShawn Jackson, gang member, this, that, all that. They don't want to pay him. So you got to do negative news first before you do positive news. The thing is reporting 90% negative news on us. That's what they do. That boy's no gang member. He come out of Compton, California, where it's a very poor, deprived neighborhood, oppressed neighborhood, of course. The whites come in and take the money and take it out to the suburbs and live good. You're not allowed to put stores in there. You're not allowed to do anything. They bring everything, again, supplying all your needs, take the money out the neighborhood. That's what they do. So LaShawn Jackson going to play with, I think, Redskins for $24 million. I think X amount of dollars are guaranteed, $16 million guaranteed, or some option on the last year of his contract. I mean, he's taking a cut of basically $2.5 million. Judas Peppers got cut in half, from $16 million down to $8 million. All these guys are taking cuts. But the quarterbacks ain't taking no cuts for non-performing. Tony Romo. 8-8 for the last 3 years, no playoff, one appearance in how many years? Zero. $56 million. $100 million contract. Nothing. Can't do anything, basically. But throw the ball and sling it out there, hope somebody catch it. If you don't catch it, that's a problem. He overthrow it, just overthrow it. He fumbled the ball, they'll throw an interception, it's all right. He's coming back. They sit you down if you fumble the ball a couple of times. You get on the bench, you don't play. They'd rather lose the game and control you. It's all about control. And half of the coaches they got, you don't even know them. Couldn't even play football, know nothing about football. That's what this all about. People's sons and all this men coaches can play the game, but they can coach the game. How can you coach something you can't even play and didn't play very well? Can't coach it. But you get the resources to do what you need to do. Surround the people again. Look what's going on. You're 85% African-American players, and you got about 3% coaches. We have to shape this up. And the African-American players are going to have to do something about it. The union have to do something about it. We should have 85% African-American coaches and up in the front office, president of operations, choosing players, drafting players. We can't keep this up. They're showing you the blueprint. And we're just looking at it every day and don't do anything about it. We're talking everything but the right thing. Baseball, basketball. I think basketball got 11 or 12 coaches, and they're almost 90% black players are playing. They're trying to bring in European players, trying to take some of the league over to Europe and all that. That ain't going to work. Still going to have a good game. I never forget when it was basically, you know, European basketball players, the game might get to 50 points, might get to 60 points. That's all. Zero. Slow moving, slow thinkers. Everything was slow. Same with the football quarterback. Slow thinkers, can't move, set in the pocket, make it comfortable for him. Crazy. The game is fast. It's not a slow game. But you're kind of trying to preserve the quarterback spot. So now what you going to do now? Because now you want players that run, do this and that. Johnny Manziel. Oh, he's great now. Black quarterbacks do it all the time, run when they can't throw, can't do. They do it all the time. But that was, you got to be in the pocket. We ain't worried about the pocket no more because they're doing what we do. They always copy stuff that we do. So they promote the stuff that we do. When they do it, they promote it much, much higher. So it's all a conspiracy type thing. It's all about racism. It's all about the money. It's all about the money. And we have to look at it exactly what it is. They brought in Chip Kelly from Oregon. Couldn't play football worth tension when he played, but now you're going to coach somebody. but they have to be in control. It's just the way the blueprint is made. We're the pawns, as usual. We are the pawns, and they're the kings. And it's going to stay this way unless we do something about it. We got to either do boycott, sanctions. We're not going to do this and that. Get the money and say, you know something? You get all the money you can get because you're not going to be anything afterwards. You're not going to be anything afterwards. You're not going to be the coach. You're not going to be the assistant coach. You'll be very few. I think it's like 10% of assistant coaches. That's all they are.
There seemed to be a movement getting rid of African sports announcers. They just got rid of, what's the tight end that used to play with the Ravens and Denver Broncos? Shannon Sharp?
Shannon Sharp. You got to watch everything you say. Can't criticize, you know, white players, basically, European players. Can't criticize them. But they can criticize you. Say anything they want about you. But you can't do it. You have a job. And be careful with your mouth. But you have to be careful with their mouth. So this is what they're doing all over the place. I mean, look in the stands. Look who's there. Who can afford to go to those games? Because they pay you way less than the same job they're doing. Pay you less. But soon you get a bit of money, they run the real estate or their brother to your house to try to sell your house. We should look for black real estate brokers, real estate people. We should make sure we get, you know, our clothes from black clothiers. Entrepreneurs, we got to pick the money back to our community. We recycle $60 billion out of $1 trillion every year. $60 billion, that's all we recycle. Get a haircut, get our wives' hair done in the salon. I mean, what kind of money are we generating? These are things we have to do. We got to build houses like everybody else. We got to do buildings like everybody else. They are the makers and they are the takers. They're nothing but takers, basically. They're definitely going to make it. They're definitely the makers now. Because they got you coming to them, all their money, everybody's money coming to them, and they're taking everything. They have taken it. Ask Sinbul what they took from him. Took the whole country. They are the makers and they are the takers. Nobody making and taking but them. They take all the tax money. They build the roads, they build and they do everything. But they're always talking about some crazy stuff that's not true. They're always talking about we ain't building no roads. They're making all the tax money and charge you crazy money. They're filling their pockets up. We just don't like to tell it like it is. We're afraid. We have to stop being afraid. We have to stop. I'm going to do a report one day on actually businesses that we own is actually making money. Very little money. Our corporate people got pocket money what our corporations are worth. Pocket money. We got to be self-dependent, self-reliant, and we got to do some sanctions. We got to do some things. We don't need to be shopping on Easter Sunday going to nobody's store. Wear your kids, everybody, wear the clothes you wore last year. You got to hurt them in the pocketbook. They only listen when you hurt them in the pocketbook. They're going to talk crazy stuff about you as long as they live. Because they're very, very, very segregationist. They're very, you know, I call it the three R's. Race, racism, and rednecks. This is what you got running this country. They're from other countries. They're from Europe, basically. And they all they know is slavery. All they know is extension of slavery. They don't know anything else. They don't have no idea how to treat anybody. No idea. They got you in projects or low-income housing and got the Indians in reservations. They got everything, and all they do is talk about you. All they do is talk about you.
Let's talk a little bit about, when we talk about the subject race, sports race and money, let's put some numbers into the discussion. Recently, I had a chance to look up and research the average salary is based upon positions in the NFL in 2013. And these statistics are based upon the NFL research department. They stated that the free safety and the punter average maybe $1 million to $1.3 million a year, whereas the highest salary is the quarterback. They average like four times more, $4,145,000 a year. So with a quarterback, as you alluded earlier, they get four times more than the lowest paid football player, which your punters and your free safeties are just basically no more than $1 million.
Well,
if this is a team game, why is it that when it comes to salaries, there seem to be positions where Europeans play the most, those are positions where they get paid the most? That's the position that you said earlier. I don't know if people recognize that. But can you speak to that salary scale? And also speak to the issue of this cap. Why is the football players have a cap on how much money they can make, but the owners don't have no cap on how much profit they can make?
Well, there's no cap. Well, the cap is, I think, $125 million, I think it is. But you got 53 players to play. But going back to what you're saying about the levels of pay, you're talking about the second and third string quarterback that brings, you know, that in your math, that they make four and five times much as you know the regular other players making other positions, and what brings that? But the first string quarterback, I think the average close to $14 to $16 million a year. You're talking about the first string cornerback, they go from $1 million to $4 million. The linemen, I think they say they make from $5 million to about $8 million. And, of course, receivers make from $8 million to $12 million. But all that's being decreased now, but the quarterbacks are steady going up higher. The first two years, they don't have to pay, you know, X amount of dollars to the quarterback. But you know what's going on with that because now the transition is changing, where black quarterbacks are coming into the league. So now, you know, first-round draft choice, you don't have to pay them X amount of dollars for the first two or three years now. So that's coming into play. But that is definitely what it is. The owners can make much as they want to make. With cities build stadiums for them and everything else, they can charge the sponsors who hang their, you know, you might say their flags or whatever, or hang their Wichita tapes or whatever, their signs around the stadium. They get money for renaming the stadium. You can name it AT&T Stadium. You can name it, you know, Verizon Stadium. You get money for all of this. Some of them have cable. You have to pay for that, you know, for that cable, or you got to pay for an app. So all this coming to play in the sports field of being an owner. All this coming to play. The whole thing is about the bottom line, the money. Some don't even care about winning because they get X amount of, you know, get X amount of money from the city, from the state, from everybody else. They get all kind of write-offs, tax write-offs that they receive because of ownership. So the profit margin is very, very long, extensive. And most people in the front office is 95% European Americans, 95%. But you're 85% of who's playing on the field. You got kickers. All of them are white, basically. Placement kick. They make more than the quarterbacks. Some of the cornerbacks, the safeties, and the linemen, defense and offensive linemen, who are your least paid people, offensive, defensive linemen. But this way, this game is being done because about the money. And you notice when the announcers talk about the money, they never talk too much about the European salary. They always talk about the African-American money. Baseball, basketball, they always talk about how much money they're making. Well, there are very few of them. Like in baseball, there's less than 8% African-American players. There's 23% of players that are basically African-American, but they're called Dominicans, Cubans. They got, you know, other names for them, basically. Or you might say colored, C-O-L-O-U-R-E-D, the colored players. We're about 35% of the Major League Baseball. But go back and see who's making all the money. A losing pitcher makes more money than a winning ball player, and they play every day. A pitcher pitches every 5 days. They're going to make sure they're up top, promote them and everything else, and a lot of things they cannot do in baseball. And a lot of blacks don't go into baseball now because, again, you're on the farm system for 4 and 5 years. You're not making much money there. They go into football and basketball, because you can leave after 1 year, play basketball, you're very good, 2 years. You can be very good in baseball and don't make it for 4 or 5 years. Don't want to bring you up yet. Then you got to play 2 or 3 years before you get a good contract, a good salary thing, whatever. And baseball don't have no cap. Baseball do not have a cap. So that's another big, basketball have a cap, and also football got a cap because you're 85% African-American. That's why they got caps on it. They don't have caps on baseball because of 85%, you know, basically European players. So that is the reason why. Ask them that question. They're not going to have the answer I'm going to give you. That's the numbers. You got 85%. When you look at football, 85%, 90% of black players are playing every down, almost every play. The main European players are on the bench, getting paid. Second and third string quarterback, the kicker, the punter, these would make percentage what it is because that's where they play. All the field goal kickers, are, you know, they're basically European. All your kickers kick off European. So most of your quarterbacks, over 85%, are European. But are your running backs, receivers, and most of your defensive linemen, they're African-Americans. And basically 65% of the linemen now, if offensive linemen, they're African-American. So just African-American league, football is, and basketball, African-Americans. And, of course, baseball is basically about 30% color, you know, which include African-Americans, you know. But that's what you got.
And, Mr. Joyner, one of the issues when we talk about sports, race, and money, and we talk about this question of contracts, I think people need to be aware of the longevity of the careers as related to certain positions. For example, looking at some statistics, by the NFL and football alone, they stated that an average running back, his average longevity in the NFL, they have them as 3 years, whereas for a kicker, it's 7 years, and a quarterback, 5 to 6 years. So, again, not only do they get less money when you talk about African athletes get less money, but also they have less longevity in the football league, and the health issues become more severe because of the nature of the position they have to play. For example, you made a statement earlier about kickers. Kickers actually receive more money than running backs. According to the NFL statistics, for 2013 last year, an average running back made $1,682,565, where a kicker made $1,719,945. So I find that ironic that kickers are getting paid more than running backs, when running backs receive more punishment, is more brutal, plus at the same time they're more important in terms of the game than the kicker. So when one talk about sports and race and money, you can see what these things do intertwine.
Yeah, that's all about the money. But again, the running back would bring his salary down after 3 to 5 years of running. He become a second or third back. Then after about 30 years of age, he's basically going out of the league. When a quarterback, once he gets downgraded to about 7, 8 years, then he becomes a backup, a third backup. So some of the quarterbacks are 35, some of them are 40 years old, just about still playing, or don't they on the roster, still making money. They're still making $1.5 or $2 million, $3 million, $4 billion, and they don't even touch the ball in 2 or 3 years sometimes. But three quarterbacks, one is playing, making money, and the other two are making more money than actually the other players. And when they finish, a lot of them become quarterback coaches. Some of them become defensive back coaches. They never played defensive back in their life, but they become these other coaches, offensive coordinators, ain't done nothing, but they still going to get jobs afterwards. We don't get the jobs afterwards. That's still longevity. I look at Jason Garrett of Dallas Cowboys. Could not play quarterback worth 10 cents. He still got a job. He's a coach. He played backup. He still made money. He's been making money for over 20 years in the National Football League. The average African-American makes money in the African Football League about 7 years, not 20 years. We're out of it, totally out of it. What are we doing after that? Nothing. You don't get the same opportunity, nowhere close. You don't get the longevity because of these other reasons other than. The whole thing is how do you take care of your family afterwards? And that's the key. Use you up as fast as you can, trade you off, and make less money. This is the deal. When the quarterback gets traded off for less money, like Brett Favre, 40 years old, still making $20 million, couldn't throw a lick. But still, he's left in the league 18 years and still made $20 million. And he's not the only one like that. But just to showing you, you know, where these guys are, Some are still doing backup right today, and they're 35, 36, 37 years old. They saying you
okay,
finish at 30.
Okay, Mr. John, we can let our listening audience know that today this is Listening Pages of History. We're speaking truth to power as relates to the subject matter of sports, race, and money, and we do have a listening audience who'd like to make a comment on that subject tonight. Call 3320. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Your question or comment?
Yes, I'd like to make a comment in regard to the sports landscape. With the point that Brother Drunen was making, it also expresses the fact that these athletes need to have a solid backup plan and be prepared for what life is going to be like after their performing career is over. Because I know recently Rashard Mendenhall retired, and one of the things that Rashard Mendenhall mentioned, first and foremost, he said that I never was an entertainer. I was always a man, first and foremost, and the NFL was a great opportunity, but now I'm going to use the decent amount of help I have left and do experience some new things and enjoy life because I don't have to deal with that daily grind that dealt with playing running back for 7 or 8 years.
All right, caller, we thank you for your comment, and I'll let Mr. Joyner respond to that comment about having a backup plan. But before Mr. Joyner responds to the comment, we would like to let our listening audience know that Listening Pages of History is a bi-weekly program. You can hear us every Sunday, Saturday evening at 12 noon. For more information in terms of how you can support MPH, or if you'd like to send a donation in, you can send your contribution to P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. And we have a second quarter fundraiser going on. If you'd like to support us by buying raffle tickets, please feel free to call us at 804-519-0357. Mr. Joyner, our listening audience supporters stated that football players need to have a backup plan. What would you suggest for someone who will become a professional football player, how to prepare themselves to make this transition, or how to best use football, basketball, baseball as being to have a second life? What would you say to our people? And we'd like to let our audience know if the program you cut off, we will be at that time. Please go to the archive by dialing blogtalkradio.com, missing-pages-of-history-inc, and you can hear the entirety of this program. We will go over today. Mr. Joyner, my question, how can they prepare for some career outside of sports once they are played with Mr. Joyner?
I think once you get them, we put some good numbers out there for them today. But there are certain groups out there now, there are certain organizations. I know the coach of the Colts, I can't think of his name at the moment, be a coach. He has a program out there that he has seminars. They call, it's basically backup plans. And a lot of players do very well. But when you start playing this game at 19 or 20 years old, when you leave college real quick, they got you in there just to make the institution, the college institute. That's all they got you in there for. And a lot of backup plans are not there that you would like to. Everybody has a backup plan. We have a career that's outside of the lot of football. Everybody means to have a backup plan. But, again, the opportunity is sometimes the opportunity is not there. It's very difficult to get these backup plans, very difficult to get loans and everything else to do anything. We don't have affirmative action. Affirmative action has been around for 450 years, and basically Europeans got the affirmative action. The banks loan them money. That's affirmative action. You can't get any money. The thing is to make sure you don't get anything. This is the whole makeup of people. We have to understand that. There is no backup plan for us, basically. The thing is that we got to take what you got while you're making it. We're going to sell you a house. We're going to do this. We're going to try to bankrupt you. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had a backup plan. Alex Ings had backup plans. But what happened? They took their money. So all these backup plans we got, the main thing, we take your money. It's like Wall Street. They take your money. And they have no plan for you to make any money, but they're going to take your money and pocket your money. And that's what they do. So most of the players have agents. The agents are rich. Some of the agents are billionaires because they get X amount. They get 3 to 4%, and they got 20, 30, some got 100 players they sign up, and they get paid right away. Well, 3% of $3-4 billion, I mean, that's pretty good money, and you ain't got to do anything. So our backup plan is that we need seminars. We need things we can get involved in, with franchises or this or that, things already out there for us. But, again, it's very difficult to have a backup plan what you're going to do when you get the money right away. The taxes are very heavy on that money. You're buying your mother house, things you didn't have before. The money leaves you very quickly. So the backup plan is really not there to a certain extent. About 10% of the football players have backup plans, but they make an X amount of dollars that particular time, and they invest their money very well. And certain things, most of them get, like I say, they get into stocks and get into annuities and do this type of thing. So a lot of them have that, getting 3 to 4% of their money, 5% of their money, which is not much, but they're making quite a bit of money. So but you got to allocate yourself, put yourself out of sight. I have a friend of mine I talked to, and he went to work for you. He used to play football for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, got hurt, 34 years of age. He's okay, but I've talked to him, consulted with him, and he pays himself $60,000 a month. He's got about $3 million left in the bank. Well, $60 million a year is enough to last him the rest of his life with the interest he's getting on his money. He gets about 5%. Well, that's his backup plan. His backup plan to get a modest house, about $400,000, and he pays himself $60,000 a month, a year. He has about $20,000 left over every year that he saves again. Same cars, BMW and Escalade, you still got the same car, I think the 207, 208s. So you don't need the more cars at the moment. Keep what you got. But pay yourself a salary where you pay yourself $1,500 a week, whatever it takes you to live, and pay your house out. Let it go. So he is tough, but $2-3 million, most of it makes people make in a lifetime. So just do the math. You're going to live about maybe 60 years. So maybe, which is about 80 years, if you're talking about 80 to 80 or some odd years, just count that particular time, and you'll be fine. So the backup plan basically is, they got to get that. I agree with the caller. Yes, a backup plan. They need a whole lot of backup plans, but they're not going to get the job afterwards. The backup plan become a coach. The backup plan become a coach of an institution or a college. But that backup plan to become that is not there. Because only 5% of African Americans are coaches of football teams, over 3,000 some teams. That's all they have. So it's not there. And the black universities don't pay a lot of money for football coaches, from 125,000 to about 300,000. You ain't got but 4 or 5 that pay that kind of money. Where the coaches of the NCAA football teams, my Lord, they make $3-5 million a year. They need 1 year and they find most of them get 3 to 5 years. You can't get that kind of money. That's their backup. See, they have a backup plan, too. Their backup plan to be a coach, assistant coach, be a this, but that's what they do. And look where they are. That should be their backup plan. Mendenhall's backup plan should be a coach, a running back coach on an NFL team. That should be his backup plan. Is he going to get the job? No. They got a guy who never played running back or somebody's son to be that. See, that's what we got to fight for. See, those are the things we don't fight for. He should become a running back coach somewhere. In the National Football League, or become a coach of college, that's where he should be. But that doesn't happen enough because we don't program ourselves for that. We program ourselves for lesser. We have to get more. We always think small. We should think bigger. They think big. We don't want them to think small. Small business, small everything. We have to think larger. We have to ask for it. We need to be running back coaches, receiver coaches. We need to be this and that. Very simple. We got to do sanctions. We have the unions to be fighting for these type of positions. This should be our backup plan. That is your career. You played football. That is your career. Where can I land in my career as my backup plan? To be a running back coach at least. We don't think that way. We don't have no – I think most should not go that route. When you look at the numbers we just gave you, almost 95% of the assistant coaches, running back coaches, receiving coaches, line coaches, defensive coaches, who are the best at doing this? Mean Joe Green. Why is he not a coach? See? These accounts, why Len Swan didn't become a receiver coach? Zero. We don't become nothing after we play. We just pause.
Why you don't do commercials like a Joe Montana?
Yeah. Don't do anything. We don't get nothing. Zero. Thanks God for Nike sometime to come in and do stuff. Nike helps us a little bit. Gatorade, they understand. McDonald's understand. Get a few commercials, endorsements. We get a few. don't get that much. All I want to get paid is Tiger Woods, LeBron James. They're getting paid. So they don't take that craziness. Jay-Z, thanks to Jay-Z that he's negotiating some of these contracts. We need more people like Jay-Z. We need more people like him that's getting the money. No, we ain't playing for that. We're doing this.
Speaking of this issue of the contracts and this notion that football players make a lot of money, we just stated that on the average football, you know, depends on your position, you don't make no more than $1 to $2 million a year, no more than for about 3 or 4 years. Speaking of this question of contract, being a student of high finance, Mr. Joyner, can you talk a little bit about these illusions of these contracts? Because we understand a lot of these contracts are not guaranteed. But a lot of the time when they talk about African's contracts in the world of sports, they give you these high figures, but most of these players never see this money. Can you talk to us a little bit how contracts are really made and what's the real value of these contracts when it relates to real reality and what they actually do receive? Because a lot of times they can sign a contract because of certain loopholes or certain clauses in that or the rights for teams to cut you at any time. These ball players never see this money. Can you talk a little bit about this whole question of the illusion of these big contracts when it comes to black athletes making money?
Now, what happened is that the black stipulations and the clauses are much more rigid than the contract that European players get. Much more rigid. You can't even ride a bike. I mean, something you cannot do. But they can ski. They can do things they do. It's fine. Get on boats, speed boats, all kind of stuff. But you can't get on these things. The contracts they give them, basically, most of the time is 2 years mainly guaranteed. The rest of everything, of course, it comes in the option for the third and fourth year. And most time they're less. Their buyout contracts are also much, much less. You have to have a very good agent. And some of these agents, again, look out for themselves first. And, of course, the owners and the agents, they're in cahoots with each other. I can get this player for this. If you do this, I'm going to kick back this to you. So, again, you're not in the kickback. 98.5% of the agents are European Americans. That doesn't make any sense to me. But, again, because they can get your endorsements, because we don't own nothing. We don't own Pepsi-Cola or Coca-Cola or Gatorade. We don't own none of these companies. And the white agent can take you there where the black agent can't. When people talk about agents, why, you know, you get them because they can get you other things. Because we don't own nothing. If you don't own none of these big places like this, then, of course, they can't get you in. Verizon, AT&T, I mean, T-Mobile, they do this because they get white agents because they can take you to the endorsing and take you to the endorsing parade. That's where they can take you, where the black agents can't. I'm going to get that out the way. And the contracts, they are totally different. Most of the white contracts, they are guaranteed money, a certain amount. They sign them for a big number, like $100 million, guaranteed $56 million. Well, we don't get any contracts like that magnitude. That contracts don't come to us like that. We have to get a little bit better in negotiating. They don't like Jay-Z in the mix now. They don't like it because he going to get it right. Jay-Z know the deal. He going to get it right. And they don't like it. He's talking to the young boy, the quarterback at Seattle right now because he going to get paid. He makes $680,000 a year. That's all that young man makes. $680,000. That's all he makes. Zero. So what he going to get now? He should be in the $18 to $20 million figure. Kaepernick, he's asking for $18 million for the San Francisco. He ain't won a Super Bowl yet. Well, he won $18 million, ain't won a Super Bowl. What is Mr. Wilson going to get? He should get $20 million. So this is what we talk about. Remember when, I'm going to take you back a little bit, when Doug Williams won the Super Bowl for the Redskins, he asked for money, and they got rid of him. He got rid of him. He won a Super Bowl now, which it gave him a long-term contract with the white boy get, but he got nothing. He got basically cut, out in the cold, gone. This is what they do. Understand their blueprint. And you have to fight that blueprint. The fight is not over. The fight just began in sports because we just got there. We just got to playing baseball thanks to Jackie Robinson, the Bill Russells of the world. We just got there. And we the first one to get fired when things don't happen. They expect us to run miracles overnight. They expect us to run miracles overnight. They don't expect us to, when they hire us, they expect us to be an instant winner. White boy can lose for 20 years. Dan Marino, 15 years with the Miami Dolphins, didn't win nothing and got paid. 15 years. Is Michael Vick going to get 15 years with the Philadelphia Eagles? No. No, we're not going to do this kind of longevity to us. It's not going to happen.
Mr. Joyner, we got less than about 4 minutes, but there is an issue I want to give you a perspective on. Because this program is dedicated to filling those missing pages of our history. Recently
right.
They had this tournament called the NWA Final Four tournament that took place. And all of these African basketball players making billions of dollars for the NWCP. There was a suit by the Northwestern football team led by an African quarterback where they said that athletes are really employees and the people
that's all
should
they
be
are.
Paid. What is your position on that and speak to that? 2 minutes, Mr. Joyner.
I think they should get paid. There's no doubt in my mind that you get paid because they bring some more to you. They're making money for the university. The other students who go there, they don't make money for the university, so don't even compare the two. You got to study and play football and play baseball or that, whatever you're doing athletic-wise. Baseball don't bring no money to the program there. Only two sports bring money there, basketball and football. The rest of them don't bring any money. And these players are coming there from impoverished families, from poverty, that's where they go get them at. And they bring them there, and they should get paid. They should get a stipend of what goes on, where it's 3% or whatever, so they don't have to go do things. I think they stay in school much longer if they get a stipend, especially the players who are really going to make it. That's why they leave, because they need money. The European players don't need money. They have money. Johnny Manziel's parents are millionaires. He don't need no money. And Nike just gave him a contract for $5 million. He's not even gotten in the NFL yet. But this is what happens. Is Bridgewater getting one? No. So this is what's going on. They should get paid. The university, I'm just going to give you a quick stat before I leave. Ohio State, Michigan, their program there, their sports program, $50 million a year that what they allocate to sports at Ohio State. All the black universities together don't have $50 million. We're talking about one university. When I'm talking about Michigan, Texas A&M, I mean UCLA, USC, these are the kind of budgets these schools got to recruit and bring people in. They got plenty of money. They're paying the coaches $3 and $4 million a year. Assistant coaches making $500,000 up to $1 million, the assistant coaches. And look who they are. Look on the sideline and see who they are. Look who they are. Yeah, they should be paid. Basketball and football players, they should be getting paid. Where it's $1,200 a month or $2,000 a month, that way they'll stay in school. That conscience will be on. They'll study better and everything else. Like I always said, high blood pressure among black folk, is this the reason for it? The reason is that your bills are $2,000 a month and you're making $1,500 a month. That's why you got high blood pressure.
Okay, on that note, Mr. Joyner, well said. We'd like to thank Mr. Emmanuel Joyner, who is a contributor and analyst of Missing Pages of History, for sharing his views and thoughts today on the theme sports, race, and money. We'd like to thank our listening audience for tuning in and supporting Missing Pages of History. Remember, we come on every other week, bi-weekly, at 12 noon. We want to speak truth to power, and we'd like to share with the audience that if you'd like to support us and help us develop our program, feel free to send any contribution donation into Missing Pages of History, P.O. Box 27782, Richmond, Virginia, 23261. Until next time, let's continue to fill in our missing pages of history. As your host, Lee Robinson, we thank you for listening to our program today.